That's great to see everyone on such a beautiful day out there, and certainly glad the visitors are here with us. Hope you'll linger a little after so we can get to know you a little better. If you're following along this morning, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, specifically in verses 8 through 20. A preacher said, "When I was a young minister, a funeral director asked me to hold a graveside service for a homeless man with no family or friends. Now, the funeral was to be at a cemetery way out in the country. This was a new cemetery, and the man was the first to be laid to rest there. He said, I wasn't familiar with the area and became lost. Being a typical man, of course, I didn't ask for directions. I finally found the cemetery about an hour later. The backhoe was there, and the crew was eating their lunch. The hearse was nowhere to be seen. I apologized to the workers for being late, and as I looked in the open grave, I saw the vault lid already in place. I told the workers I would not keep them long, but that this was the proper thing to do. The workers, still eating their lunch, gathered around the opening. He said, I was a young and enthusiastic preacher, and I poured out my heart and soul as I preached. The workers joined in with praise the Lord and amen and glory. I got so into the service that I preached and preached and preached from Genesis to Revelation, he said. When the service was over, I said a prayer and walked to my car. As I opened the door, I heard one of the workers say, I never saw anything like that before, and I've been putting in septic systems for 30 years. You know, everyone needs a little wisdom in life, both young and old. Wisdom helps keep us from making certain mistakes in life, and especially if we receive the wisdom that's from above. And of course, like this poor fellow, I'm sure we've got our share of embarrassing moments in life too. In James chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, James wrote, Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, and do not boast about it or deny the truth, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest from righteousness. So we see that the goodness from above, that the wisdom from above is goodness, humble, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, sincere, impartial, and full of good fruit. And that's a bunch of wise things that we can be in life and be just what God wants us to be. Wisdom deals with how we live, not so much what we know. There are plenty of educated people in the world who don't have a clue. Yeah, I don't know if you know some of these people, that they're book smart, they can make straight A's. But if you put them out in the middle of the woods, they would be lost. They couldn't attempt to find their way out or find a solution to anything, because it's just not in their way. So wisdom is not just knowledge, but it's how we live our lives. Let's read our text this morning, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 8, and we'll go to verse 20. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and make melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, A fellow named Wilbur Chapman had words of wisdom. He said, "The rule that governs my life is this. Anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me, and I must, as a Christian, turn away from it." That's true wisdom. A person's direction in life is what's the most important thing. If we're seeking to serve God, if we're seeking to live with God, if we're seeking a relationship with God, and to walk with God each and every day of our lives, then we're going to have to seek His wisdom. We gain it through reading His Word, or hearing His Word, or any other method that we can use to put that Word in our lives. You can listen to tapes, or CDs, or even digitally, or whatever you want to do, to hear God's Word. But it's also talking to God. Paul said, pray without ceasing. In other words, God is sitting next to us. Now, if our friend was sitting next to us, we'd probably hold a conversation with him for as long as they're there. Well, that's what God wants. He wants us to have that conversation with Him. The first thing we learn from our lesson text here today is that we expose darkness in verse 8. We live as children of the light. How do we expose the darkness of the world? By shedding light wherever we go. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 tells us, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." When we shine that light, we expose the darkness. And in today's world, it's getting even harder to be a Christian and not be criticized by the world. And not to give up, too, because you know eventually the world's going to have its way. But we can't give up. We always have to be, again, that light on a hill, that light unto people's feet that show them what is right and what is wrong. We can't give up on that. So we need to be that light. In John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, 12 tells us, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When we walk with Jesus, we can see the sin out there, and we can see how it destroys people. We can see how people spiral down into it. You know, we see the drug addicts that get exposed. Well, everyone who start, if you ask them when they started, if they were going to wind up like that, "Nah, I'm much stronger than these other people. I can deal with it." But they're there, and you never know when sin brings people down like that. And sin brings people down in other ways, all the various sins. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Romans 13, 12 tells us, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." What Paul was talking about here is that we don't walk in the darkness anymore. We have the light of Christ. And we can see clearly the path that leads to heaven. We can see clearly the path that leads us through this life, through all the trials and troubles that we have in life, and how it's going to get us where we're going if we'll follow it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel and glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Now, the little g God that he's talking about here is first and foremost is the devil, Satan. Secondly, is just our own ability to be tempted. And once that temptation, you know, becomes fruit, it becomes sin. And we're engaged in it. A young man once complained, "Why did God ever make such a world as this?" He added, "I could make a better world than this myself." A friend suggested, "That is just the reason God put you into this world, to make a better world. Now go ahead and do your part." You know, the world is the world. And this is what the world is like without God. Again, when Adam and Eve sinned, and sin came upon the earth, and the earth was not holy like it was, God could not dwell here. And so we have all the problems war, famine, pestilence. It's all because of sin. All because we strayed away from God. Got away from that idyllic Garden of Eden, where God walked with them and made all things right. And someday we're going to have that again. We have a relationship with God now, and we walk with God. But there's going to be a day when we go home, and we're going to walk with God forever. I like the song, No Tears, No Tears Up There. You know, no sorrow is going to be there. But the world we have here is a world that sin made. We do our part by pointing out the true light to people around us. Then somewhere, somehow, someone's going to gain from that. And we might win a soul. Secondly, what he's talking about, we need to use time wisely. How do you spend your time? This is exactly what we do. We literally spend our lives and our time on certain things. Someone once wisely said, you cannot kill time without injuring eternity. In other words, what we do here affects us in eternity. We prepare for eternity here and now. We must invest our time wisely so that we can make sure, make our calling and election sure. In Psalm 90, verse 12, the psalmist wrote, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The New Common Version says, teach us how short our lives really are, so that we may be wise. And I think that's a good commentary on all that. You know, the Bible says we're just a vapor. We're just here very shortly. Time equals life. Therefore, waste your time and waste your life. Or master your time and master your life. William Penn, one of the founding fathers, wrote, time is what we want most, but what we use worst. We need to not waste our time, as the apostle says here, but gain in knowledge of God. Gain in knowledge and being fruitful with what God gives us. Time adds up quickly, and time leaves us quickly as well. We all know that if we get a little older, you know, the days get shorter, the weeks get shorter, the years get shorter. And we're already halfway through a year, and it just seemed like we blinked, and it was New Year's. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 6:12 says this, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. Our lives should be right with God. Our lives should be aligned with the Bible here. We should measure up and stack up to what God wants us to be. Because the reward is great. And to do otherwise is not good for the person who doesn't follow him. It's the day of salvation of all mankind, it's true, is here. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. But time will run out. And it runs out for people every day. And whatever decisions they made in life, that determines what happens to them. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not become weary of doing good, but for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is the time of harvest, but only if we work at sowing good stuff. How can we reap if we do not sow? And that's kind of the question I always ask people. You know, why do you want God to give you a home with Him when you don't give any attention to Him on the earth? You don't seem to care about Him. You don't seem to love Him. You don't seem to follow His word or, you know, really believe in it. So if you're not going to have a relationship with Him here, why do you want a relationship with Him later? And that's what Galatians 6:9 is telling us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. When is time? I don't know. Could be any time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. You know, Paul was telling him that because he knew his time was near. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. When we live for Christ, when we live for God here, the gain is all ours. He gave His life for you and me, and as He tells us here, He gave it for the whole world if they'll accept it. And try as we might, we're not going to achieve the whole world. But there's something we can do somewhere for someone that might change their mind. And we need to live our lives as if this could be our last day. Now, the question that someone once asked was, if this was your last day on earth, what would you do with it? How would you live it? And, you know, that brings about so many questions and in people's minds, and how would they live it? But we never know when it is that time. Time is more valuable than money. You can get more money, but you can't get more time. Someone once said, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash you have, so spend it wisely. Thirdly, this morning, he talked about in our text, we respond to the Spirit. 17 on. You know, some time ago, the Associated Press carried this news story from Glasgow, Kentucky. It says, Leslie Puckett, after struggling to start his car, lifted the hood and discovered that someone had stolen the motor. Could this be our problem? And could it be that our motor is the Holy Spirit? Be filled with the Spirit. Most of us are filled with something, but what about God's Spirit? Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Remember, the Spirit was given to us as a down payment. Now, of course, it kind of has a double meaning back then, because they were filled with the Spirit and had the power of miracles and prophesying. But the Holy Spirit lives within us. God dwells internally in us. Romans 8, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We have a special relationship with God. We have His Spirit indwelling in us as a deposit that He's going to make true on His promise to us that someday we will walk with Him. And we'll see sights that we've never seen on this earth. We'll see places we've never seen. We can't imagine. The apostles tried to describe it with earthly things, but I think it's infinitely much more beautiful there. So we live our lives to get there, and God puts His Spirit in us. Paul told us we're a royal priesthood. We hold that honor as Christians. A lady said to a visiting evangelist, "You're not keeping abreast with the spirit of the age." He replied, "You're quite right. I'm not keeping abreast with the spirit of this age, but I'm keeping abreast with the Spirit of God." And people like to change. They want, you know, every once in a while I hear some denomination say, well, we got to come into the 21st century, or you need to wrap your head around this or something like that, because times have changed and stuff like that. But God does not change. God is the same and always will be. So don't worry about who cares if we keep up with the world or not. You know, they can use pejoratives on us like fuddy-duddy and prude and things like that. But the important thing is to keep in step with God. We need to be like Enoch of old, who walked with God each and every day. To walk with God means to be sensitive to His Spirit and who lives within us. It means to respond to the Spirit and lead our lives that way. And God and Spirit has talked to us through God's Word. Through the Word of God. And, you know, we can't take a pill. Although I read something in the future, we might be able to take a pill and knowledge will be dispensed to us. How that's going to work, quite a mystery. But right now, it's still the old-fashioned way of reading and learning and hearing and growing in God. So We have to respond to Him each and every day. So wisdom in Christ means these things in the text that we read this morning. We expose the darkness. We use our time wisely and respond to the Spirit. We respond to this Word. We don't reject the Word and run away from it and not read it again because we like doing what it says not to do, or we don't like doing what it says to do. But we read it and we apply it in our lives. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I don't think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday." And that's true. Are we growing? You know, in life we grow. We learn new things. Next bit of technology comes out and we pretty swiftly learn how to work that new phone or a new gadget or something like that. And that's the same with the wisdom of God. Are we growing and our mind's eyes becoming like God's eye? In other words, we see His wisdom. We see the purpose in there. We may have started our Christian journey. Okay, God said it, I'm going to do it. But 20, 30 years later, do you understand why? Have you grown in that way? So, are we growing in wisdom? Are we growing in the Lord's wisdom, more importantly? We have His book, and we have prayer. And that's how we get it done. That relationship with God. That relationship with our fellow Christians. I don't know what your needs are this morning, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?